It is Passion Week, or what some call Holy Week, in the book of Mark. That is the last week of Christ's life before the crucifixion. The week began with his triumphal entry. And if you remember, he enters Jerusalem and he walks around the temple. He's evaluating God's people, centered there in the temple. Then after evaluating the state of God's people, Israel, he goes out and he curses a fig tree, which is symbolic of the rotten fruit that he saw when he looked around Israel. The fig tree being cursed was a symbol that God's special relationship with Israel, that had lasted throughout the Old Testament era, was about to come to an end. The temple would be destroyed, and that relationship would be over, ending in judgment. We saw last week the Lord exposed the teachers of Israel, the scribes. He exposed them as incompetent teachers who didn't even understand the Old Testament. They were blind guides leading the blind. Now the Lord, in his final statement to Israel, he will not speak to Israel after this. He exposes the evil motives of the teachers. Now this brings up a principle that we see throughout the Bible, and that is when God judges, judgment always begins in the household of God. So when Jesus returns one day, before he judges the world, he judges his church, those who profess the true religion. He will separate the sheep from the goats. And in that passage, it is the sheep and the goats within the church. There are false believers who will first be judged before God turns to the world. We see in verse 40 that these false believers, especially those who teach, will receive the strictest judgment. We don't understand how this works out, but in God's judgment, there are levels. Some judgment will be worse than others. But those who will receive the worst, the strictest punishment, will be those from the church who profess faith in Christ, but never believed, but they use religion for their personal gain on the backs of others. Note here, Jesus doesn't actually address the scribes as much as warns the disciples about the scribes. And so he will be done speaking to Israel, but he says to the disciples, which means to you also, beware of the scribes. He's telling them and you to learn to discern the difference between a fraud and a genuine believer. Frauds, he goes on, are all about image. They're all about how they look, what they can get. The scribes love attention and praise. The Lord gives some examples. They love wearing long robes, the robes that would distinguish them. They wore white linen robes that only the scribes were allowed to wear. They love the respect they were given. The word love here is key. Not that there's anything wrong with respect, but they lived for the respect from others. They love the personal greetings in the marketplaces. Now, you can actually go back to places in the Talmud and Jewish sources where the rabbis teach the people how to greet them and how to respect them. This is how you are to address us rabbis. This is how you are to stand up when we enter a room. They were all about how they were to be respected and praised by others. But also, the marketplaces then were not like today. We only think of, well, you buy and sell in a marketplace. But in those days, you would have discussions, and the rabbis would lead discussion and answer questions. And they loved the respect and praise from men in these discussions. They also loved the seats of honor at the synagogue. When you went to a synagogue on a Saturday morning, there'd be a scroll of the Torah in a case. In front of the scroll was a bench, and that bench faced all the people. And on that bench sat the scribes. And so in church, they would be looking up to a front row of scribes. So the scribes had the place of honor. They loved that everybody was looking at them up front. And they also love the places of honor at feasts. I knew of a pastor who, him and his wife, had when during their fellowship meals, they had to go first in line every time. They reserved the right to have the place of honor. And while the rest of the congregation used plastic silverware, they had to be given real silverware. They would not use the plastic. I was not surprised to find out a few years later the spiritual abuse that had been going on in that church. And so we see that they lived for the praise of men. They wanted to be looked upon as first, as best, as important. But worst of all, and he saves the worst for last, the scribes and Pharisees devoured widows' houses. What does that mean, they devoured widows' houses? Well, they did this two ways. The first way, the scribes were not allowed to be paid for their teaching. And so they did what we call in our day, raise their own support. That's a trigger right there, right? Some of you have been around. Raising your own support isn't always above board. Sometimes there's a lot of manipulation. And so to raise their own support, they would enter widows' homes and they would impress them with their long prayers. Notice how he mentions that, probably praying for the widows. But them entreating them to do this for God, to give their money to the scribes in support of their ministry. We see that today with televangelists. They tend to target the elderly and especially widows. And so they would target the elderly and widows. And it ended up that these widows were destitute because they were told they should be giving their money to the scribes. There's a second way they devoured widows' homes. And the scribes and Pharisees would lend money all the time because they would use the money they gained from all the temple taxes. But when somebody couldn't repay on time, they would take their home from them. So they had a lot of homes and real estate from these practices. Jesus summarizes all this by they devoured widows' homes. They would leave them destitute. That's why in our passage, there's a widow who's destitute. She has two pennies to her name because they had abused them to that point. Now, the Old Testament is clear that the Lord has a special love for widows and orphans, all those without family in this life to care for them. The Mosaic Law was very clear. You must provide for the widows and orphans. You must protect them and provide. And here, these teachers of the law were doing the very opposite of what the law actually said. They were taking from the widows and leaving them poor. And so the Lord is furious. He's holding off his judgment because it's not time. But he is very angry at what they are doing in God's house. But for now, he is going to warn us, warn the disciples, watch out for people like this. Why is he warning us? Well, for one, because they're everywhere. Jesus says, throughout the church age, there will be people like this, taking advantage of God's people in the church. They love religion, they love true religion, but they will use it for their own benefit, whether it's money or respect or attention or power. There are people all day who teach, but they don't have any type of devotional life or life with God. They will be on the internet all day talking about what they believe, but they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. They're not actually praying. They're not actually having any type of life with God. It's all about show and attention. There are some who write books, and it's all about how many books they can sell and how much praise they can receive. There's no real love for God. There's no real love for others. It's all for show. And so Jesus says to disciples, watch out for people like this. Why? Because they will devour you like they devoured the widows. Maybe they will devour your money. And you know how televangelists do this all the time with guilt trips and false promises. And it doesn't have to simply be televangelists. People can guilt you into giving more than you can afford. They will devour your respect. They will demand respect, and when you stop at any time, they will turn on you and leave you and hurt you. They will destroy the witness of your church, and especially if they get into leadership. So the Lord says, watch out for people like this. But note in our passage, the Lord gives you the responsibility to watch out. It is your responsibility to discern. Now, that doesn't mean you have superpowers. Doesn't mean you go visit a church one Sunday, pastor gets up, says his first announcement, and you turn to your wife and say, he's a fraud. I can tell. And it doesn't mean if there's one thing you disagree with doctrinally, well, he's not a Christian. No, you don't have superpowers. The point is, if you watch people over time, you can tell the difference in most cases if they are doing it for themselves or are they really doing this for Christ. Is it about them or is it about the Lord? You can tell over time. But the Lord does something better than simply warn them about the frauds. He then shows the disciples the real thing. It's a long day. The Lord finally sits down late in the day in what's called the court of the women in the temple. The court of the women was not God's idea when the temple was built. The Jews had taken on the Greeks' low view of women, and so they created a separate place for them to worship called the court of the women. And there were 13 receptacles there of where you could give an offering. They were all shaped like trumpets. They were made of metal. So if you put a coin in, everybody knew. It was very loud. And so people were coming, and Jesus was watching, and the wealthy would come, give lots of coins, so everybody around, there'd be lots of tourists during the Passover, and they would all watch the money being given in this offering. But then Jesus sees a widow coming by herself, and he watches her as she puts in two small coins. Some of your translation give the Greek names because Mark is writing to a Greek audience. But basically, it amounts to about 2 pennies in our money. Jesus calls the disciples to him, says, now I've warned you about the frauds. Let me show you the genuine article. Let me show you what the real thing looks like. I want you to watch this woman. That's the real deal. That's one of mine. She is not in it for show. And so he begins, truly I say to you, what I'm about to tell you is crucial. This poor widow is more impressive to me than all the rich people who just showed off and all the money they have given. Why? For they put in out of their surplus. It didn't cost them anything. This poor widow, out of her poverty, gave all she had to live on for that day. Now, that's why it's helpful to learn that she put in 2 coins. We would expect if she only has 2 coins left for the day, she would put in 1 coin and keep 1 for herself. But she puts in both pennies of what she has left. And so Jesus is saying, man looks outwardly on the surface, but God looks at the heart. And Jesus sees the heart of this woman, of this widow. And he says, this is an exemplary Christian. This is the real deal. I mean, consider her faith. Why is she in the temple? Well, she believes what the temple was there to picture. That was a place of sacrifices. We are sinners. We need a sacrifice for our sins. She actually believed this. She was at the temple for the right reason. She was not trying to impress God or work her way to heaven. She understood that she needs a deliverer to die for her sins, just like those animals were lifted up, were sacrificed for her sins. So she trusted in the Savior as a genuine believer. She understood she was a sinner. So consider her faith, but also consider her trust. She trusted God to meet her needs. And we don't know how much she was given every day, but she trusted enough that God would supply. Look at her hope. She was not looking at this life to get everything she wanted. She knew this life would be a life of suffering. She's hoping in eternal rewards for what Christ came to bring, what the deliverer would bring. So she's willing to live in suffering now, looking ahead to the resurrection. Look at her love for God. Everyone else was showing off. She would have been very embarrassed. She probably very quietly looking around, hoped nobody would see, to give these two pennies. She's not doing this to impress anyone. She only has one in mind to do this, and that's the Lord. She thought God was the only one from heaven watching, not realizing that his son and the disciples were also watching. But what really stands out in amazement is her love for others. Because she is not paying the temple tax. There's only two reasons to give an offering. You're either paying the temple tax, which she couldn't afford, or you're giving an offering for the poor. So this offering was for the poor. You do see the irony, right? She, still in her poverty, is thinking of others at that moment. Now, this passage is not teaching that if you're real spiritual, you should give all your money to the church. That is not the point. The point is that Jesus sees her heart, and he praises her heart over all the outward show of the leaders of Israel. This is a person who actually believes the gospel, and the gospel has changed her heart. And so the Lord is saying, if you disciples are going to discern the difference between a fraud and a real Christian, you're going to have to learn to value things that I value and not the way you value things. Sometimes what's valuable to God is the complete opposite of what impresses us. When you compare these two, the scribes and the widow, you have a complete opposite in everything. The scribes had money. The widow was poor. In Israel, if you had money, you were considered more righteous, more blessed. The scribe is surrounded by followers. The widow has no followers. The scribes were leaders with authority. The widow had no authority. The scribes were experts in the Mosaic law. At least they thought so. The widow was not considered an expert in anything. The scribes were men. Men were considered more blessed of God in Israel. The widow is a woman. Jesus is saying, if you want to value what I value, the way I see things, you're going to have to learn that my value system is different than what the world is impressed with, even what the church at times is impressed with. You see, this unnamed widow is forever immortalized on the pages of Scripture. She actually ended up giving the most famous donation ever in that temple. This widow should remind you of someone else. What is Christ about to do in 3 days? Well, he's about to give an offering to God. And he's going to give his own life, everything he has, to the Father. Why? Because he loves others. It is an offering for the poor like us to become rich in him. He's not doing it for attention. He will not be wearing a long, glorious robe. Matter of fact, in those days, the crucifixion wouldn't even have made the evening news. It was done outside the city. Very few people even were there. He's not doing this for his own glory. He's doing this for you and for me, that though we were poor in sin, we would become rich. You see what the Lord is saying to the disciples? If you want to look for the real thing, look for people who remind you of me. Look for people who remind you of the way I treated people, of the way I went to the cross, of the way I wasn't living for attention and praise and respect. If they remind you of me, you're on the right track. Now, the application is obvious, right? Because the text tells us two applications. Beware of the frauds and learn to recognize the real Christians. But there's one side application of discernment I want to bring up, and that is when you see a Christian bound in legalism, do not assume that Christian, he or she, is a fraud. Because this widow was bound in legalism. Somebody was pressuring her to give all her money. She did not have to do that. So somebody from the outside could say, what a legalist. We don't have to do that. But she was bound. She was under spiritual abuse. So when you see someone like that, don't assume the worst. Try to help that person. They may need to be freed from this, just like this widow needed some help. Many people like this certainly have sincere hearts. But the point of the passage is that judgment is coming on this world. But before you worry about all the people out there, judgment starts in the church. And those who people were outwardly impressed with may experience the most fierce judgment. They are those who have used Christianity for themselves. They have no love for God, no love for others, but they've used religion for their own benefit to hurt others on the backs of others. They are often the ones that claim to be the most committed, the followers of God's law, and yet there's nothing in their hearts. They will receive the fiercest judgment possible, more than anything that's being done out there in the world. So the Lord is telling you now, before that time, be discerning. Recognize this, and when you see this, run. If you see people living for praise and attention, but no real heart, no relationship with the Lord, run. You're being deceived. You're being devoured. And not only run, but help others run who are also being deceived. And at the same time, recognize that true godliness often goes unnoticed. It's not out for the praise of others. It's very private and unassuming. That's the way true godliness works. So when you see frauds, run, recognize it. You can't always run physically, but you know what I mean. But when you see the real deal, when you see one of my children, then honor them the way Christ has just honored this poor widow.